Delete Me makes it easy, quick, and safe to remove your personal data online at a time when surveillance and data breaches are common enough to make everybody vulnerable. It is easier than ever to find personal information about people online. Having your address, your phone number, family members' names just hanging out there online, it's all pretty scary stuff, right? With Delete Me, you can protect your personal privacy or the privacy of your business from doxing attacks before sensitive information can be exploited. Look, I'm online all the time, and it freaks me out that my info is out there. Take control of your data. Keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me now at a special discount just for you guys. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to join DeleteMe.com/Burt. Use the promo code Burt at checkout. That's joindeleteme.com/Burt. Enter the code Burt, B-E-R-T, at checkout.
Save big money on everything you need at Menards. Your roof is the first line of defense against the elements, and it enhances the appearance of your home's exterior. Owens Corning shingles offer ultimate protection and impressive curb appeal. Choose from 26 colors of Owens Corning Duration shingles and transform your home today. Shop our selection of roofing products on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find plenty of great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. The Burt Show.
All right, she wants us to do a background check on herself. So, yeah, we offer.
Wait, what?
Yeah, I know, right? this is the first part.
Okay.
Hey, this is. I'm like. Did you drink so much you blacked out? You really, you have no idea what's going to be out there about
who
you.
Who am I?
Maybe she has multiple personalities and different personalities do different things late at night. I mean, United States of Tara. Did you ever watch that show?
No.
So good.
So she could be like, that wasn't me, that was Tara.
Uh-huh, exactly. I think this is a first because we offer, we have somebody, a private investigator that can do background checks. And so I know they can be expensive. So we offer to take care of it for you. And yeah, so Lydia hit us up and she wants us to do a background check on her. All right, now Lydia, do we need to talk about your memory here? Like what could possibly be out there that you have no idea about?
Yeah, who are we talking to? Is this Lydia or is this Tara?
Yeah.
No, this is Lydia. No, the reason why is I have a job interview coming up.
Uh-huh.
And I really, really want the job, but the process is part of the background check, and I'm afraid that something that happened from my past is going to pop up, and I don't want it to keep me from getting this job. And I've been in my current job for 3 years, and they didn't require a background check. And so, I just don't know if it's going to come back to bite me in the butt, you know?
I get what you're saying. So you know of something you have done. You just don't know that if you do a background check, it will pop up.
Yes. When this happened, I was only 16, and I'm 25 now. And it was supposed to not, be left, but I just don't know. And since I haven't needed to deal with it for a while, I'm kind of just is this going to be something that's going to make an issue?
Okay, so Lydia, you know what we're going to ask here, right?
What did I do?
Yeah, of course.
That thing she's trying to hide from this employer?
Yes.
And everybody else?
Dude, we changed her name. She's on the voice disguiser. Nobody's going to know it's her.
Okay. All right.
It's nothing crazy. I was just an idiot. I was 16. I was with a bunch of friends, and I got arrested for doing something stupid. We were shoplifting, and it was enough that we got charged with a felony because it was over a certain amount.
Mm.
And, I mean, I was just with the wrong group of people, you know?
Yeah.
But they put me in this alternative boot camp over the summer. And so after I completed that, I had to go to, these at-risk youth camps and talk about why, what I did was wrong and encourage people not to do the same mistakes. And after I completed that, my record was supposedly expunged, but I just don't want it to pop up and just completely ruin this job interview and have me blindsided.
Do you really think something like this that you did when you were 16 could could prohibit you from getting this job?
I don't know.
Yeah.
And this job is too good, and it will really, really help me financially, that I just can't risk that stupid mistake that I made when I was a kid.
I get you. I get your concern, because I feel like with a lot of places, once they see that you have that on your record, they may not even care to go into why or how old you were or what did you do. So, yeah, I can see why you'd be concerned on if this is a thing on your record or not.
They're going to see this and think that I'm always going to make stupid mistakes.
Generally, though, and I don't know, because if it's a felony, it might be different. And it, I guess it depends on the state. But generally, if you're under the age of 18, unless you're tried as an adult, those records would be sealed after you turn 18. And unless they're using something like the FBI, they won't show up on most employment background checks.
You're not joining the FBI. Right?
Yeah, are you joining the FBI?
No, I'm not.
Yeah, I can't see how, unless you're working, like, let's say for some reason she's like the exception to the rule and for some reason it's still on her background check. I don't see how this would affect any kind of job interview unless you're working specifically in retail. Like, that to me would be the only red flag. Like, oh, you're going to be a manager at X, Y, and Z, and you're going to be around a lot of very expensive merchandise. Then, yeah, sure, like, as a manager, as someone who's in the hiring process, I'm going to see that and go,
sorry, sticky finger.
Yeah, but if you're working as, I don't know, an analyst somewhere, I don't really see how those two things would correlate. But as somebody with chronically very high anxiety, I get how you could catastrophize and think that one mistake is always going to define you.
Lydia, how old are you now?
I'm 26.
Okay, so this happened 10 years ago. I also feel like a real employer is going to take that into account.
Yeah.
Like, you were 16. You hope so. Yeah, you would hope so. I think retail, like Abby said, is different, but come on, like, you're a kid.
Yeah, but I don't know if that's going to show up on the report. It's just going to show up that I have a felony.
Yeah, I hear you. All right, so
they're not going to see the age.
We took care of you, Lydia. We have your background check results, and we're going to give them to you coming up next, okay?
Oh, man. Thank you, guys.
All right, hang tight.
The Burt Show.
Lydia wanted us to do a background check on her. Mo, what is Lydia worried could come back to haunt her from her background check?
Well, Lydia made a mistake about a decade ago while hanging out with the wrong crowd and did a little bit of shoplifting. And because it was a certain amount of shoplifting, it ended up being a felony on her record. So now that she is grown and looking to get a grown job, she is hoping that that is, has been expunged from her record, as they claim that it has been.
Yeah, that five-finger discount cost her a little more than she expected.
So you have this job coming up. You know they're going to do a background check. So you just, Lydia, want to brace yourself to know how to handle this if it comes up, correct?
Exactly. I don't want to be, like, surprised when they come back and be like, you don't get the job. Like, what?
Gotcha. Okay, so Tommy, you got our background check?
I do. I have a friend in Florida who works for a private investigative agency, and they helped me with all of these. And they ran your background check, and we're going to go step by step and see how you did. Under education, it says that you got your GED, that you didn't finish high school due to, I guess, your legal problems. So you got your GED instead.
But obviously, it doesn't say all that. It just says her GED.
I just assume that.
Okay.
Yeah, it was because of the camp and everything.
Right, right. Employment history, it revealed you have been in that same job for the past 3 years, and it looks like before that, you just had a few part-time jobs here and there. Financial records, there was nothing of note, nothing that could harm you with this new job you're applying for. Driving record, you seem to have a clean driving record, nothing on that. Marriage record, it looks like you have not been married.
Nope.
Property ownership, doesn't look like you've owned property, so I'm assuming you're currently renting. I think you told me you're in an apartment. Social media presence, they took a look at that and said it looks normal. And then we come to the two biggies, and those biggies are legal records and criminal records, and I'll do one at a time. Legal records, there were no legal records on file.
Yay!
Okay. All right. Yeah.
Now to the biggie. Criminal records. And you were worried about the shoplifting when you were 16.
Yeah.
It came back clean.
Yay! Oh my God. I'm so excited.
And according to our PI, she said it does look like your past transgressions were expunged.
So there you go, Lydia.
Nothing to worry about.
You're in the clear, babe.
You don't even know how relieved I am. Like, this has been a huge cloud just following me around.
And now you know for certain that your background check is going to come back clean, and you should be able to get this new job you want so bad.
Thank you all so much. Thank you.
No,
I really appreciate it. I'm so grateful. Thank you.
You're so welcome, girl. Now go have a great day.
Live your best life.
But
thank you.
Pay for everything. Yeah, don't have too good of a day. Yeah, have fun, but don't have too much fun.
The Burt Show.
Delete Me makes it easy, quick, and safe to remove your personal data online at a time when surveillance and data breaches are common enough to make everybody vulnerable. It is easier than ever to find personal information about people online. Having your address, your phone number, family members' names just hanging out there online, it's all pretty scary stuff, right? With Delete Me, you can protect your personal privacy or the privacy of your business from doxing attacks before sensitive information can be exploited. Look, I'm online all the time, and it freaks me out that my info is out there. Take control of your data. Keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special discount just for you guys. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to join DeleteMe.com/Burt. Use the promo code Burt at checkout. That's joindeleteme.com/Burt. Enter the code Burt, B-E-R-T, at checkout.
Save big money on everything you need at Menards. Your roof is the first line of defense against the elements, and it enhances the appearance of your home's exterior. Owens Corning shingles offer ultimate protection and impressive curb appeal. Choose from 26 colors of Owens Corning Duration shingles and transform your home today. Shop our selection of roofing products on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find plenty of great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Kristen is proving to us every industry has a dark side.
And this week, we're going to do the dark side of convenience stores.
Oh, fun. Oh, it's going to be fun.
I found this list on Ranker of the creepiest, weirdest convenience store stories. I was like, is it convenient store or convenience? And it's convenience store, by the way. So your first one. I worked at a small convenience store.
So not a Buc-ee's?
No, it is not a Buc-ee's. It is a small one. I didn't eat good stuff from Buc-ee's. Maybe next time I will do strictly Buc-ee's and see if I find anything. But they seem to be like an upstanding, like, an upstanding business.
Wasn't Tommy telling us like last week, like, didn't you travel 45 miles outside of your way to go to a Buc-ee's one time?
Yeah, there's one like 50 miles from my house. I'll go there just for the brisket.
So it's that good?
The day I told you about it, yeah. I came back and told Katie and Rebecca, because the exit I get off on to go home was a little crowded, and you have to get over and weave over. I thought about just keep on going. Go to that Buc-ee's.
That place is so good, you would just get up and travel 50 miles for
it. And to talk about how nice this place is, you know how much they pay their managers and stuff? Like six figures.
What?
Yes.
What?
There's a sign outside every Buc-ee's that says, hey, you want to be a manager here? Make $150,000.
All right. Really? That's not these type of establishments, yeah, okay?
Don't think I didn't think about it.
Thomas, like, they can just pay me in brisket. It'll be totally fine.
I worked at a small convenience store. They had one of those fry delis that had chicken, corn dogs, burritos, etc. This particular night, I had run out of burritos and chicken. About 5 minutes before I was closing up, a guy walked in and asked for some burritos. I told him I was out of them and that I was just about to close and the fryer was shut down. He walked around the store for a minute. I assumed he was looking for something else to buy. And then he came up to the counter, pulled out a knife, and told me if I didn't cook him some burritos, he was going to stab me.
That's what? Serious.
That made me hungry.
I freaked out, but told him I had none to cook. I showed him the freezer, and I told him I would happily cook anything he wanted from it, but I was out of burritos. He looked in, turned to me, and said, you really are out. I replied, yeah. He put the knife away and left.
Okay.
Once you get that thought of a specific food in your head, man, it is very hard to shake it out of there.
That's like you with crumble cookies.
Yeah. Or P.F. Chang's, man. Once I get that Mongolian beef in my head, that I'll stab somebody.
There's no replacement.
Had a guy in our parking lot doing what looked to be Tai Chi at 1 a.m. He would do the motions, then kickflip off the side of the building and go back to doing the motions. We told him he needed to stop doing that. He goes to the pumps, takes the nozzle off, buzzes for inside pay, chooses a grate of fuel, and splashes it in his mouth.
What the hell?
He spits it out, chooses another grade, and does it again.
All the grades?
That's when we call the police. Oh, God.
The second grade.
He's got that hot tool. The gasoline.
Wow.
Gasoline. I had a guy come into the gas station where I work, obviously on drugs, but I have a lot of regulars that are addicts, and most aren't violent, just weird. So he wanders around the aisle, occasionally looking over and staring at me for 10 seconds or so each time. After the last customer leaves, he comes up and pulls out a small pocket knife, the Swiss Army knife kind, looks at me and says, "I was supposed to do something very bad to you, but I decided not to, I think." All while opening and closing his knife. Then he finally decides to leave.
You think that was burrito guy? Was it the same guy?
I don't think it was a different location. A friend of mine found out during a robbery that the emergency button under the counter actually just locks you in the store with a now panicking armed robber. His boss later told him it was to prevent people from getting away. I mean, it did also put in a call to the alarm company, who eventually called the police. But for a good 25 minutes, he really thought he was going to die in there. He did not know when he pushed that panic button underneath.
Of course.
That it was going to lock the doors with him inside with the robber.
Whose idea?
Right.
Yeah, I got so many questions about that.
Yeah.
So you don't, when you're behind the counter, there's a door to get in there also. Mm-hmm. So is that locked too? So you're sequestered from him?
Well, not all convenience stores have that.
Damn. I don't want him in here with me.
You know something else interesting? Some convenience stores will have like height measurements on the door going in and out. So on camera, you can see if someone robs it, how tall they are as a suspect.
I never even knew why they did that.
Mm-hmm. I once saw a man.
I thought maybe that there's a height requirement to get in.
No.
So I would see him and I would just turn around. I would be embarrassed by that.
I once saw a man come in, stare at me for a few minutes, walk into the soda aisle, and slowly pour a 2-liter of Sprite down his pants.
No.
And then he left.
What?
There is not enough brisket in the world to pay me to be able to do this job.
One night, somebody stole all the urinal cakes out of the urinals.
Okay.
Oh, probably needed them.
And then the last one for you. Oh, this would be so rank and disgusting. When I was an agent of the law, I got a call one night to respond to the Main Street 7-Eleven for a disturbance. When I pulled into the lot, there was a fair amount of people standing around outside. The store manager came up and told me someone had put a dead skunk in a paper bag, stuck it in the microwave, turned it on high,
the hell,
and left the store.
That's just straight evil.
That's evil.
The Burt Show.
All right, let's talk breakup breakdown here and love bombing, because if Abby didn't get the classic lesson in love bombing over the course of the last couple of months, I don't know what else you'd call it.
Yeah, speaking of horror films, let's talk about my love life. I had such a whirlwind this weekend where I feel like I lived out an episode of my podcast within 48 to 72 hours. If you missed this all this week, I was in London doing something stupid. Following
no, you
it was
didn't.
Not stupid.
It was really stupid.
No, it wasn't.
This is me putting a PSA to all the young girls who are listening. Do not buy a plane ticket for a man. They will all let you down.
This is not what Hollywood has taught us for years and years and years. And you took a shot. It wasn't stupid. You took a shot. A big shot.
I took a shot. It hit the wall and then it hit me right in the face.
You took a gamble. You put it all on red.
And unfortunately, it landed on black.
Yes. So anyway.
Always bet on black.
Yeah.
So I'll give
most like a brother would have done that to you.
So I'll give you the 20-second rundown. Went on a vacation to London, met a guy. It was amazing. Flew back to go see him, but also wanted to get some work done while I was there because, you know, men can't be the center of your life. So before I met this guy, I decided to do some recordings for my podcast and got to connect with some experts and had some really interesting conversations that will eventually come out on The Breakup Breakdown, which is my podcast on Burt's Network Pioneer. And I talked to this woman named Kate Mansfield, who had a conversation with me about love bombing. And it's so funny because I had an episode yesterday come out about love bombing. And it's kind of the extreme example that you think about when it comes to love bombing. I had an episode come out yesterday about this woman who met this guy and they just instantly had incredible chemistry. Everything is just going so well. He's obsessed with her. She's obsessed with him. And about a month into the relationship, he takes her ring shopping. And she's like, this feels a little weird, but like, maybe he's just excited. And then a month and a half into the relationship, she gets pregnant. And so he's like, huh, little did you know, while we were ring shopping, I decided to actually purchase the ring. So good thing you're knocked up because now we're getting engaged. So they get engaged. Something happens in the relationship like a month later where he decides he doesn't want to be engaged anymore. And we had a conversation about love bombing and what that felt like for her. And I remember kind of being a little bit judgmental is not the right word, but I remember thinking, oh, if that ever happened, that would never happen to me. A guy takes me ring shopping. Like I would be running for the hills, even if your gut tells you no. But then I experienced what I think is maybe a more watered down version of love bombing this weekend. And I fell victim to it. And I think it's just kind of the perfect example is that nobody is immune to getting manipulated by somebody. You know, you can listen to somebody's story and whether it was mine or somebody else that you've heard on the podcast and see it from 6,000 feet and go, I would never do that. I saw the red flags. I can't, Abby, stupid. You're saying you would do that and buy a plan. I knew what was going to happen all along. Mm-hmm. And you have that because you have hindsight and you're not in it and you are not living that person's experience. So for me, when I flew out to London, you know, I was all up in arms and excited about it because this guy gave me a forehead kiss at a bar and I was obsessed. I was like, this guy takes me to bars and he makes me feel protected. And he's saying he wants to buy plane tickets to come see me in Atlanta. Like this guy clearly has strong feelings for me. And then long story short, ends up being an absolute D-bag. And it's so funny that I'd had that conversation literally hours prior to meeting this guy for this date that I was talking to this expert who gave me a definition of love bombing that I'd never heard before. Because for me, when I have talked about love bombing before on my podcast, which I've done for 3 years, so we've talked about it a lot, is that I've always put it in the category of manipulation. Like this is something that somebody is doing to manipulate you, which is still true. But I think the way that she put it into layman's terms for me, like she explained it to me like I was five, I was like, this makes way more sense. And it gave me the clarity to realize after all this had happened that I had been love bombed. And she basically said, you will know you're being love bombed with how they respond to your boundaries. So for example, just because a guy gets excited about you and a guy gets excited that and sends you flowers and makes these fancy dinner reservations and says he wants to book a trip for you doesn't mean he's love bombing you. He really could just be excited. But when you say this feels a little fast, something doesn't feel right in my gut, because trust me, like women especially, your body will tell you when something is not right, and you say, hey, let's slow it down a little bit. And they don't respond well to it when they see that boundary as a threat and not as a way to build a relationship with you. You've been love bombed.
Thank you for that.
And using your situation as the example of that lesson, when did that occur for you?
That's a good question. For me, I think it came down to how he responded on the second date. Because so the first date, you know, was great. He was very affectionate and, you know, we had a great time. And then the second date comes around and it's kind of the same old, we're popping to bars. He's saying, I want to take you to this bar because that's where we met. And, oh, I know you love to dance. Let's go downstairs. And those are all things that I don't think make him a love bomber necessarily. But then we go back to my hotel room and he walks me back and he's expecting something that I'm not willing to give. And I say, no. And looking back on all those gibberish text messages, I'm kind of realizing,
he was pissed. Mm-hmm. And I think a guy that is not love bombing you and a guy who wants to build something with you and is genuinely excited about who you are as a person is not going to throw a hissy fit because he didn't get what he wanted.
That's a fact.
They're going to respect your boundaries right. for sure. So I'm so glad we're having this conversation because after, hearing your story and trying to figure out, like, it, as a woman, when you're in it, because it's so easy after the fact. It's so easy to have hindsight and be like, God, I was love bombed. But what I want to get out of this is, like, when you're in a relationship and somebody is doing something nice for you that you don't automatically think it's like for nefarious reasons. Like, I feel like now, I feel like a guy's screwed no matter what he does. You do something, you don't do anything, you're a loser. You do a bunch of stuff, you're love bombing. It's like you can't win. So it's like, how do you know when something is genuine and how do you know when somebody's doing something for, like, authentic, altruistic reasons? And now we know it's the reaction to the boundaries.
Yeah. Well, love is selfless. And so if somebody is doing something to you or doing something for you with selfish intentions, that's probably not true, genuine feelings for you. It's him trying to get something out of you. And, I think had it been in Atlanta, I probably would have been more apt to just kind of brush him to the side. But I think, women can kind of get caught up in the story of it all. And I think it speaks to kind of, I don't mean to say slim pickings out there, but I got excited about a guy who held my hand. You know what I mean? Like, that's how brutal it is out there that I was so excited that a man treated me with the bare minimum kindness that I was willing to fly across the freaking ocean. I mean, let that sink in. Like, that's how brutal it is for people who are dating out here. So again, if you are in a happy, healthy relationship, hug your loved ones today because it is cold out here in these streets.
The name of the podcast again is Breakup Breakdown.
Breakup Breakdown. You can find it wherever you get your podcast. Again, the episode this week is about love bombing. Real crazy story this week about a woman whose engagement ended like 3 months in after the relationship started 3 months prior. And then tomorrow the episode will drop about love bombing with Kate Mansfield. Really cool conversation I had in London.
The Burt Show.
Delete Me makes it easy, quick, and safe to remove your personal data online at a time when surveillance and data breaches are common enough to make everybody vulnerable. It is easier than ever to find personal information about people online. Having your address, your phone number, family members' names just hanging out there online, it's all pretty scary stuff, right? With Delete Me, you can protect your personal privacy or the privacy of your business from doxing attacks before sensitive information can be exploited. Look, I'm online all the time, and it freaks me out that my info is out there. Take control of your data. Keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special discount just for you guys. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to join DeleteMe.com/Burt. Use the promo code BERT at checkout. That's joindeleteme.com/BERT. Enter the code BERT, B-E-R-T, at checkout.
Someone you love has served in the armed forces? Tell us about it. Brag on a veteran.
Hi, my name is Allison from Colorado Springs, Colorado. I'd like to brag on my husband, Jake, who is a veteran of the U.S. Army. He retired and dual med boarded with 100% disability from the Army a couple years ago, but he hasn't let that slow him down. He still takes care of our family every day. We're super proud of him and couldn't be more grateful for the life that he's provided his two little kids and myself. He's wonderful. We're proud of his service. Happy Veterans Day, hon.
Hello, Burt Show. My name is Carla, and I am calling from Virginia Beach, Virginia. I would like to shout out my dad, retired Chief Warrant Officer 3, Carol Lawrence. My dad served proudly in the Air Force and the Navy and is a 5-time cancer survivor. Not just 5 times, but 5 different cancers. My family is blessed to still have him with us at the young age of 83, and he still puts on his uniform with pride each Veterans Day at church. He is the rock of our family and is loved by many. So if you could please shout out my dad again, Chief Warrant Officer 3, Carol Lawrence. Thank you.
Hey, Burt Show, this is Brandon. I'm going to brag on my little brother, Gary Stone. He's a beast of a Marine. I couldn't be more proud. He served 10 years. I mean, honestly, he did everything he ever wanted to do, saw the world. I couldn't brag anymore about him. Now he's out, and he's going to law school. I mean, he's doing big things in his life. I just want to say I love you, baby, Gary, and I appreciate everything you did. Happy Veterans Day to all veterans. Thank you.
My name is Caitlin. I'm a huge P1, and I just wanted to say thank you so much for doing this Veterans Day shout out. It is so incredible and so important, and I really just want to shout out my hubby, Troy, today for being, he's in the Army for 6 years, and he's been in the Air Force now forever, and he was deployed and gone on different missions a lot last year. It was a really tough year for him, for our daughter, for me, going through a lot of trials, but he persevered, we all did, and I am just so proud of you for everything that you do, honey, not only for our family, but also for our country, and I am just so incredibly grateful to be your wife. So proud of you. You inspire me and Callie every day. I love you big.
To all veterans, thank you so much for your service. Happy Veterans Day from The Burt Show.
Starting to see it more and more now. People just giving up on the booze, man, including our producer, Rebecca.
Hi, my name's Rebecca, and I've been sober for 1 year.
Hi, Rebecca.
What is your secret?
All right, share.
Alcoholism.
Yeah. That's a good one.
A lot of people ask me, why'd you decide to stop drinking? And usually I'm like, oh, I didn't feel like it really served me. You know, I'm just doing it for my health, like try to sleep better. But the real truth is, I had a drinking problem.
Really?
I did.
And was there one tipping point on a night where you're like, okay, now it's time to stop? Or was it a slow build?
Yes. So I never had a problem consecutively drinking. Like, I was not the person who was drinking every night. I honestly probably only drank like once, maybe twice a week. But my problem was when I drank, I would never know when to stop. Mm-hmm. I was a huge binge drinker.
Did you not know, or did you know and you just decided to say screw it when you were at that time of like, okay, one more is going to put me over the edge? Or did you really not know?
I knew.
Yeah,
I did know. Same. I knew. I knew my limits. I kept pushing my limits. And the thing with having a problem is that it's progressive. So things just start to get worse. And I would have times where I was like, okay, that was kind of crazy. I'm going to be sober for a while. And I would be sober for weeks. And then I would just jump right on the bandwagon again. And I would hit it even harder. And it was turning less fun and becoming more honestly dangerous. Because my rock bottom was, I woke up one night after drinking. I didn't remember anything from the night before. I had no idea where I was. And I realized that a bartender from the bar had taken me home because I was so drunk and I was alone. And he wanted to make sure I was safe.
And you don't remember getting in a car? You don't remember him dropping you off, taking you to bed? Nothing.
I remember saying goodbye to my friends that I was going to stay out because this was something I did. I would stay out past my friends because I wanted to drink and meet new people and talk and be wasted, basically. And I don't remember anything after that. He was really nice. He was gay. He took me home. He laid me on the couch. He gave me a blanket. He put 30 Rock on because I asked him to. Like, it was like the sweetest thing ever. And I woke up and I was like, I don't have my phone. I left it in an Uber. I can't do this again. Like, this is not working. Mm-hmm. I know that I cannot drink in moderation. I have to just commit to being sober. And I have for a whole year, which is crazy. Who'd have thought? Not me. Not me.
Look at us.
Look at me. I'm pretty sure it's a year because my sober app, I accidentally changed it to seconds and I'm not sure how to change it back. So
you know how many seconds you've been sober?
Yeah, like so far, it's like 35 million seconds or something.
Yeah, that's way more impressive than a couple of months, than a year. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been exactly a year.
How challenging was it for you in the beginning as opposed to how it is to not do it now?
Honestly, I was so scared by what happened that at the beginning it wasn't hard. It got harder months later because you go through it and you're like, wow, like I'm pretty good at this. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty good at being sober. Maybe I could have a drink. That's what you think to yourself. You're like, I've been doing so well. I could probably do this again. Mm-hmm. And that is just the cycle, and you'll just jump right back on the horse. And I knew that. I also got cancer, so that helped.
I was going to ask. I didn't want to bring it up because that's not the focus. But I would think when somebody gets a diagnosis like that, and of course you need to treat your body like a temple when you're going through those treatments. And it was probably at one point easier not to drink because you knew, like, I need to do this for my health and for my life.
Yes.
But when you get that news, I think I'd want to drink.
Well, you would say that, but I do know people that have had lung cancer and continue to smoke through their lung cancer fight.
It's crazy when you go to the cancer hospital and see people smoking outdoors. Yeah, people don't stop. Vices are hard to quit. But no, that wasn't the reason I stopped, but it definitely helped. So after a year, I wanted to share everything I've learned from my first 365 days. And number one, I think, is actually pretty obvious.
You hate working with us.
Yeah. Easy to do in your buzz. Number one, the Bird Show. Real drunk.
Drunk people are really annoying.
Yes.
Yes, right.
I knew that conceptually, but like, I was always drunk when I was around drunk people. So, like, seeing that in real time, like, shut up. When, oh, my God.
When I've gone through these cycles also that you initially went through, right? And I stopped drinking around people that were drinking. I was home by 9:30 or 10 o'clock every night, just realizing, like, this is not fun at all, man.
With more money in your pocket, too.
Yeah.
Oh, it's hard to last. It's so hard to last. But what helps me is number two. Being around drunk people while drinking a club soda with a lime, it makes you feel drunk.
Oh,
really?
Like you're like drunk by osmosis.
I don't know if like my brain is like just super malleable, but like the placebo effect works really well for me.
Nice.
So if I have a club soda and a lime and I'm like standing next to Mikey, who's like, Rebecca, you're so funny, Rebecca. I'm like, I'm on your level. I get that. It literally is like osmosis. Mm. Number three, it's a little bit of a bummer. And I don't want to bring the show down, but it has to be said. Mocktails are always really bad.
Are they?
They're terrible.
Yeah, they're not the
just
best.
So I've
never had one.
I've never
never tried it.
I have never been able to finish a mocktail because mocktails are just like the most sugary juice that they could think of. Mm. Or it's like a bartender throws all of like the old fruit that he has on the bar and just muddles it into a glass of club soda. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, here's your mocktail. Just drink like a club soda or a Diet Coke. You don't have to pretend that you're drinking. It doesn't work. I'll just drink water.
Let's honor Mo here for a second also that he has been mocktail free for a year.
I've been mocktail free for my entire life.
Well done.
Thank you.
Hi, Mo.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
I appreciate it.
This brings me to a tip, which is that sober people need to carry cash on them. I have never carried cash in my life. And I know not all sober people like to go to bars, but I still like to hang out with people and go to bars. Bartenders usually don't charge you when you just get like a Diet Coke or a club soda, but then you feel really bad because you're not giving them any money. So I don't rob me because I'm literally carrying cash so I can like tip bartenders for giving me water. That is so important.
Very kind of you and very thoughtful.
Thank you.
And that's only something a sober person would think of.
True. Who would think this? So number five is really the hard truth. And that is I'm not as fun as I was when I drank. I'm not as fun sober.
Oh, you're not fun, Becca?
No, I'm not fun, Becca. This is something that I really honestly was scared about. I was scared that when I stopped drinking, I would lose like a big chunk of my funness. And the truth is that that has happened. I am not as wild. I'm not as spontaneous. I'm not being left at the bar alone and making a huge group of new friends that I don't remember the next day and still have on my Instagram. And I'm sorry, I don't know who you are. My inhibitions are here. They're not going anywhere because I don't have that liquid courage anymore. But the truth is those positive parts of me that came out when I was drinking, they're still there. Mm-hmm. They're still inside. Mm-hmm. I just have to work extra hard to bring them out. And I know that the people around me who love me and care for me, they appreciate that. And they enjoy that about me. So I like that.
It's been a journey.
Hey, we love Sober Rebecca.
Yeah. Club soda on me.
This is a good time again to plug this book that I was turned on to, and I'm not getting an endorsement fee or anything. It's just a very effective book. I think Bart read it also. Kristen's
Several times.
If you are really ready and you're scared to make that switch to total sobriety, This Naked Mind is such a great book. And what it does is it really steals and robs every excuse that you have ever given to continue to drink and proves that what you're saying to yourself is wrong. And it's just the push that you might need. And again, it's called This Naked Mind.
The Burt Show.